Well, my special guest in the studio tonight is one of the foremost gypsy jazz guitarists in the world today. He's released numerous albums to critical acclaim and regularly tours the world over. He's back in Sydney to launch his second album of his Latin swing project, Katoomba Birds. Yes, he does have some pretty heavy guitar lineage. Indeed, he's the great nephew of the legendary Django Reinhardt, and has also worked with his accomplished guitarist Mike Reinhardt, his cousin. Lulo Reinhardt, welcome to Now's the Time. Can you describe, Lulo, the level of expectation that's placed upon you when it's known that you are a nephew of the great Django Reinhardt, and how do you deal with that level of expectation?
I think for me it's really easy to deal with this because on the beginning I had so much pressure on my shoulder, you know, because of the name Reinhardt. But when I started with my family like 40 years ago in my cousin's band, I was just a rhythm guitar player. I was just playing rhythm guitar and bass. So I wasn't sitting in the front, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting in the back. I was always rhythmic. So on the end, it starts like 2002. I was playing with my father in a band called Ichitanos. We played some Latin swing music, singing in Romanesque language. Then I became my first Django guitar, Django model. After 20 years playing just nylon strings, you know, flamenco style, Latin music, I met this company in San Francisco on the trade show in Frankfurt, on the music mess in Frankfurt. So, and they gave me this Saga model, like a Django, original Django copy. So, and they said, okay, now you have to record the Gypsy Swing City with this guitar. And I said, okay, I will do it. But then I composed new songs. No, I don't want to do copy of. I don't want to be a copy of Django Reinhardt. So, and I start composing my own songs, you know. And that's why for me today, it's easy because, like I said for myself, I'm not a copy of Django Reinhardt. No one can copy Django because Django was unique, you know. Every single note he was playing, it's like a dream for me, you know. So I did my own thing, you know, my own music. And
what do you know about Django Reinhardt? Is it fair to say that he's probably the most genuine or truly the first jazz artist who fused together what we loosely call world music and jazz?
The thing is also, in this time when Django was starting to play, guitar players, they never played solo. It was only in orchestras, rhythm guitar players. Some of guitar players like Charlie Christians, they started playing solo also. But Django was the first, you know. First, he was sitting in a big orchestra and played in front, you know. This was never happened before, you know. So, and the thing was that he created totally new style, you know, mixed all the jazz music with the gypsy culture, you know. And yeah, and it's, if you listen to all the biographies from Eric Clapton, all the famous guitar players. 2 years ago, I was playing support for Jose Feliciano, the blind singer, and he said Django was a totally inspiration for me. Everything else I play is from Django, you know. And many guitar players, if you read the biography, they say Django was the main influence, you know, of guitar players.
And of course, he was also able to reinvent himself and adapt to whatever else was going on in jazz and other forms of music as well. He didn't just stick with his style, did he?
No. He was totally open this time. You know, he was listening to this American jazz in Paris and radio. And this time they have to listen in a secret way, you know, and absolutely in back rooms, you know, because of the war, something. Because, and he, especially him, as a gypsy, have to hide himself for the Nazis and everything and this stuff, you know. So, and they play in basements, for example, you know. And many American people was there in this time, in the 40s, also from the U.S. Army, playing underground jazz concerts. And Django went there as a kid, you know. And he was totally inspired of American music. And he was open. This is important.
Well, last year, of course, the whole world celebrated the 100th anniversary of the birth of Django Reinhardt. And you must have been quite busy last year. Do you feel as though there's an extra weight on your shoulders as a result of his legacy?
No, I don't feel like this. I was playing on his birthday in New York with the International Guitar Night with four different guitar players. We had a nice show, and they made special promotion for this concert. Normally, we didn't play Django music, you know. This International Guitar Night is four different guitar players, four different styles. Everyone is playing solo. We play duos and everything. But on this night, they made it in a TV show. They said something about this, that Lulu Reinhardt is playing New York on Django's birthday, and that, and I really have to say, today I have no pressure on my shoulder because I just go out, play my music. I can say people like my music or not, and it's always when I finish my concert, some of the audience where I talk with, they said, "Hey, great, we don't miss all these cover songs, you know." And this is the main thing. Just last night, yesterday we played in King Kamba at Kantara House. There was a guy, he was 88 years old. He saw Django twice. He was sitting in front. I was so excited to see a guy who was talking with
Who
Django,
had
you know,
witnessed him, yes.
and he said, "I'm so proud to saw you, you know, and your style is so different, but you still can hear the gypsy in you, yeah, your right hand, the technique, and everything." And just for him, I played Nuages, Django's famous songs, and he was sitting there. I saw his face. He was proud. For me, you know, I'm a kid.
But back to yourself, you started playing when you were very, very young, 5 years of age,
Right.
and your father taught you
My father was teaching me,
in
yeah.
formative years,
Yeah.
and then you went on to virtually teach yourself.
Yeah, my father started teaching me when I was 5, maybe the first 2 years, you know, because my father was just a rhythm guitar player and bass player, you know. He showed me all the main chords, gypsy chords, and everything. But the good thing, my neighbor next door was my cousin, Mike Reinhardt. He was 10 in this time, and he became a movie star in Germany, you know. He was playing with famous orchestras and like a talent show today, you know.
Yes.
What is it called?
Australia's Got Talent or something
Something
like
like
that.
this,
Yes.
and like 40 years ago, we had the same, and but in different shows. It was a TV show in Germany, and there was the biggest, famous. The orchestra was Max Krieger and
Okay.
his orchestra, you know. And Mike plays with his father in this show. His father, Davli Reinhardt, was the first solo guitar player after Django. In the 60s, in the beginning
Wow.
of the 60s, and they had this famous Schnuckenack Reinhardt quintet. Schnuckenack
Oh.
was the famous violin player from Germany. He's a cousin of my father, and my father's brother, Mike's father, Davli, was the first solo guitar player after Django, no? So he took Mike with him on the tour. Mike was sleeping in the car with 10 years, and so, and then they played in this TV show, you know, with Schnuckenack Reinhardt quintet and Max Krieger. And Max Krieger said, "Hey, I want this young boy. Just for an encore, you know, something like this, you know."
Where do you call home today, Lulu?
Koblenz, Germany.
How long have you been based there?
I'm born in Koblenz.
Okay.
Yeah, my whole family is there since more than 150 years.
So, Lulu, what are you going to play for us?
I like to play a song, Waltz for One. Thank you.
exquisite was that? That was fantastic, Lulo. Lulo, I read recently in an interview that you'd done elsewhere that you found Australian audiences different to European audiences. Can you elaborate on that? What do you see the main differences?
When I played in East Germany in the 80s, when the border was there, you know, and the wall was there and everything, this reminds me a little bit to East Germany. Come to Australia, because when you played in East Germany, this was always, for those people, it was amazing to have West Germans, you know, or the step from West Germany to East Germany is just like one step, it's sometimes just like 10 kilometers or something, but for them it's like doing a step on a Mars or something, or on a moon, you know, and they had like big eyes when we came there, and everything was good for them, even if you played bad or something, you know, everything was great from West Germany.
Because the form of music you play is very, very different.
Yeah,
origins of the other side of the world,
yeah.
Something that we don't get to hear every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that contribute?
I think most of my music is born in Australia. You know, when I came here the first time in 2002, and I played with Sean McKenzie, who's sitting next to me, and Daniel Weltlinger, we just played my Latin music. I had a band called Lulu Reinhardt Project. All this Latin swing stuff that I play today was born nearly in Australia, you know. Always when I came, I met some new stuff. Then I get this new Django model guitar. I start to play Gypsy Swing. I played Gypsy Swing before, but I start to compose new songs, Gypsy Swing songs. And my music is nearly born here in Australia, you know, because of inspiration, Australian musician, you know, take some new style in the music, some new culture and everything.
So why do you think the Australian audiences are warming to you like the way they are?
Yeah, like I said, when you come from overseas also, no? and the thing that your name is Reinhardt, many people know Django Reinhardt, even here in Australia. I was shocked on the beginning when I came that so many people know Django Reinhardt.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Even Australia is like on the end of the world for us. Mm. It's direct on the other side. And I saw always people with big eyes, you know, in front of me, and totally, I don't know the word in English, but totally interesting to talk with me, you know, wow, you're from Germany, and Reinhardt and Django Reinhardt. And it was the same in East Germany, when we went to East Germany, you know. That's why it reminds me. It's totally different to Europe. In Europe, we had everything, you know. If you go back to the 40s, 50s, 60s, the famous jazz musician from America, all you can see everyone for $10, $20, $15, you know. And if you get everything, you know, then it gets boring by time. That's normal.
Yes.
And I think
become complacent.
Yeah, and I think Australia is still fresh, you know, for people from overside.
I wanted to ask you also about the Gypsy Kids, Jimmy Rosenberg.
Yeah.
And Falco Reinhardt. Is that another relation of yours?
Maybe, because the Reinhardt family is so big. I have relatives in the whole world, you know, and I think I know maybe 1% and not more. And I have to go back to Jimmy Rosenberg. I remember we played in the 80s in Holland. He's from Netherlands.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And he was a boy, 18 years older than him.
That's right.
I played with Mike Reinhardt Sextet. I was playing bass, and there was a trio. Jimmy Rosenberg and his two cousins sitting in front of us. The bass player was sitting in front of me, the rhythm guitar player in front of Mike's brother, and Jimmy in front of Mike, and they're just watching like with big eyes. And after Birelli Lacrine, is the biggest talent, absolutely the biggest talent.
So was that evident when he was 9 or 10 years old? Was he that stunning back then?
Yeah, you can see some kids interesting in my music, and some kids, they're special. You can see they're talented, you know. They have gifts. I always say for myself, you know, I'm not born with this talent. I have talent, of course, but I was working. I have to work out, you know, and there's some special talent kids, like my cousin, of course, Mike Reinhardt. He was, because he's older, one of the first, no? He starts in the beginning of 60s, Mike. Mike is born 55, no? After 1 year after Django died, no? So Jimmy Rosenberg, they grew up in the 90s, you know.
Yes.
End of 80s, 90s. Like Mike Reinhardt, my cousin, Birelli Lacrine, Jimmy Rosenberg, Stochlo Rosenberg, and all, they came on this world with this special talent, you know. It's like, they're, for me, they're genius.
Whatever happened to him?
Well, to Jimmy?
I mean, we know his tragic battle with various demons, but has he ever overcome that?
What I heard, not. No, I saw a video months ago where he was playing in Holland in a famous jazz club, and he was totally drunk and full of drugs and everything. You know, it's a shame. It's a shame. I didn't saw him for years, you know. But I don't know how the story will be end, you know. It's a shame because he's
tragic.
One of the biggest talent, you know. Everyone, you can see Stoller Rosenberg next to him sitting, you know, playing, and he's looking at him like, "Hey man, what are you doing?"
Yeah.
You know, he couldn't play anymore.
Just an amazing talent, almost really hasn't fulfilled itself.
Yeah.
What do you enjoy most, Lulo? Do you enjoy performing, recording, or composing?
The most that I enjoy is performing on stage. This is the, what are you working for? You know, you're composing is to be on stage, you know, recording is on the end to be on stage. This is, I like recording. I can work good in the studio, but you don't have the passion like on stage, you know. On stage, you do some mistakes, you can't, you know.
Undo them.
Yeah, you have to do mistakes, but you work with mistakes also. I do mistakes in every song, but I can laugh about this because I go also a lot of risk on stage, you know, like my musicians too, you know, and this is the fun part, you know. That's what I most enjoy, it's being on stage.
Making music out of your mistakes as well.
Absolutely.
What are you going to play for us now?
I made a song for Django, which calls Django.